4. Rendezvous. Commander Norton remembered those first TV transmissions, which he had replayed so many times, during the final minutes of the rendezvous. But there was one thing no electronic image could possibly convey, and that was Rama's overwhelming size. He had never received such an impression when landing on a natural body like the Moon or Mars. Those were worlds, and one expected them to be big. Yet he had also landed on Jupiter 8, which was slightly larger than Rama, and that had seemed quite a small object. It was easy to resolve the paradox. His judgment was wholly altered by the fact that this was an artifact, millions of times heavier than anything that man had ever put into space. The mass of Rama was at least 10 trillion tons. To any spaceman, that was not only an awe-inspiring, but also a terrifying thought. No wonder that he sometimes felt a sense of insignificance, and even depression, as that cylinder of sculptured, ageless metal filled more and more of the sky. There was also a sense of danger here that was wholly novel to his experience. In every earlier landing, he had known what to expect. There was always the possibility of accident, but never of surprise. With Rama, surprise was the only certainty. Now, Endeavour was hovering less than 1,000 meters above the north pole of the cylinder, at the very center of the slowly turning disk. This end had been chosen because it was the one in sunlight. As Rama rotated, the shadows of the short, enigmatic structures near the axis swept steadily across the metal plane. The northern face of Rama was a gigantic sundial, measuring the swift passage of its 4-minute day. Landing a 5,000-ton spaceship at the center of a spinning disk was the least of Norton's worries. It was no different from docking at the axis of a large space station. Endeavour's lateral jets had already given her a matching spin, and he could trust Lieutenant Joe Calvert to put her down as gently as a snowflake, with or without the aid of the navigation computer. "In 3 minutes," said Calvert, without taking his eyes from the display screen, "we'll know if it's made of antimatter." Norton grinned, recalling some of the more hair-raising theories about Rama's origin. If that unlikely speculation was true, in a few seconds there would be the biggest bang since the solar system had been formed. The total annihilation of 10,000 tons would, briefly, provide the planets with a second sun. Yet the mission profile had allowed for even this remote contingency. Endeavour had squirted Rama with one of her jets from a safe 1,000 kilometers away. Nothing whatsoever had happened when the expanding cloud of vapor arrived on target, and a matter-antimatter reaction involving even a few milligrams would have produced an awesome fireworks display. Norton, like all space commanders, was a cautious man. He had looked long and hard at the northern face of Rama in choosing the point of touchdown. After much thought, he had decided to avoid the obvious spot, the exact center, on the axis itself. A clearly marked circular disk, 100 meters in diameter, was centered on the pole, and he had a strong suspicion that this must be the outer seal of an enormous airlock. The creatures who had built this hollow world must have had some way of taking their ships inside. This was the logical place for the main entrance, and he thought it might be unwise to block the front door with his own vessel. But this decision generated other problems. If Endeavour touched down even a few meters from the axis, Rama's rapid spin would start her sliding away from the pole. At first, the centrifugal force would be very weak, but it would be continuous and inexorable. Norton did not relish the thought of his ship slithering across the polar plain, gaining speed minute by minute until she was slung off into space at 1,000 kilometers an hour when she reached the edge of the disk. It was possible that Rama's minute gravitational field, about 1,000th of Earth's, might prevent this from happening. It might hold Endeavour against the plane with a force of several tons, and if the surface was sufficiently rough, the ship might stay near the pole. But Norton had no intention of balancing an unknown frictional force against a quite certain centrifugal one. Fortunately, Rama's designers had provided an answer. Equally spaced around the polar axis were three low, pillbox-shaped structures, about 10 meters in diameter. If Endeavour touched down between any two of these, the centrifugal drift would fetch her up against them, and she would be held firmly in place, like a ship glued against a quayside by the incoming waves.
"Contact in 15 seconds, said Calvert.
As he tensed himself above the duplicate controls, which he hoped he would not have to touch, Norton became acutely aware of all that had come to focus on this instant of time. This, surely, would be the most momentous landing since the first touchdown on the moon, over a century and a half ago. The gray pillboxes drifted slowly upward outside the control port. There was the last hiss of a reaction jet and a barely perceptible jar. In the weeks that had just passed, Commander Norton had often wondered what he would say at this moment. But now that it was upon him, history chose his words, and he spoke almost automatically, barely aware of the echo from the past. "Rama Base, Endeavour has landed." As recently as a month ago, he would never have believed it possible. The ship had been on a routine mission, checking and emplacing asteroid warning beacons, when the order came. Endeavour was the only spacecraft in the solar system that could possibly make a rendezvous with the intruder before it whipped around the sun and hurled itself back toward the stars. Even so, it had been necessary to rob three other ships of the solar survey, which were now drifting helplessly until tankers could refuel them. Norton was afraid that it would be a long time before the skippers of Calypso, Beagle, and Challenger would speak to him again. Even with all the extra propellant, it had been a long, hard chase. Rama was already inside the orbit of Venus when Endeavour caught up with it. No other ship could have done so. This privilege was unique, and not a moment of the weeks ahead was to be wasted. 1,000 scientists on Earth would have cheerfully mortgaged their souls for this opportunity. Now, they could only watch over the TV circuits, biting their lips and thinking how much better they could do the job. They were probably right, but there was no alternative. The inexorable laws of celestial mechanics had decreed that Endeavour would be the first and the last of all man's ships to make contact with Rama. The advice he was continually receiving from Earth did little to alleviate Norton's responsibility. If split-second decisions had to be made, no one could help him. The radio time lag to mission control was already 10 minutes and increasing. He often envied the great navigators of the past, before the days of electronic communications, who could interpret their sealed orders without continual monitoring from headquarters. When they made mistakes, no one ever knew. Yet, at the same time, he was glad that some decisions could be delegated to Earth. Now that Endeavour's orbit had coalesced with Rama's, they were heading sunward like a single body.
In 40 days they would reach perihelion and pass within 20 million kilometers of the sun. That was far too close for comfort. Long before then, Endeavour would have to use her remaining fuel to nudge herself into a safer orbit. The crew would have perhaps 3 weeks of exploring time before they parted from Rama forever. After that, the problem would be Earth's. Endeavour would be virtually helpless, speeding on an orbit that could make her the first ship to reach the stars in approximately 50,000 years. There was no need to worry, Mission Control had promised. Somehow, regardless of cost, Endeavour would be refueled, even if it proved necessary to send tankers and abandon them in space once they had transferred every gram of propellant. Rama was a prize worth any risk short of a suicide mission. And, of course, it might even come to that. Commander Norton had no illusions on this score. For the first time in 100 years, an element of total uncertainty had entered human affairs. And uncertainty was one thing that neither scientists nor politicians could tolerate. If that was the price of resolving it, Endeavour and her crew would be expendable.